This is the fifth part of the reading of chapter 4 of an outline of esoteric science by Rudolf Steiner. I am starting this part on paragraph 59, the beginning of the Earth description. After the conclusion of the moon phase of evolution as outlined above, all of the beings and forces involved in it entered a more spiritual state of existence that was at a totally different level from either the moon phase itself or the earth phase that followed. This means that a being whose faculties of cognition were highly developed enough to perceive all the details of the earth and moon phases would still not be in a position to view what happened between them. As far as such a being is concerned, at the end of the moon phase, the cosmic beings and forces would have disappeared as if into nothingness, so to speak, and would reappear out of the darkness of the cosmic womb after a certain interim period had elapsed. Only a being with far higher faculties would be able to trace the spiritual events taking place in the interim. At the end of the interim period, the beings who had been involved in evolutionary events on Saturn, Sun, and Moon appeared with new abilities and faculties. Through their previous actions, the beings who were more advanced than human beings had acquired the ability to bring humans to the point of being able to develop a consciousness one level higher than the pictorial consciousness that belonged to them during the moon phase. This was to take place during the subsequent earth phase. However, these human beings first had to be prepared to receive what was to be given to them. During the Saturn, Sun, and Moon phases of evolution, they had incorporated the physical body, the life body, and the astral body into their nature. But these parts of their makeup had only received abilities and forces that enabled them to support pictorial consciousness. They still lacked the organs and the overall form that would permit perception of a world of outer sense-perceptible objects in a way appropriate to the earth stage. Just as a new plant can unfold only the inherent predispositions that are present in the seed of the old plant at the beginning of this new evolutionary phase, the three members of human makeup appeared in forms and with organs that would only allow them to develop pictorial consciousness. They required a certain preparation in order to develop to a higher level of consciousness. This happened in three preliminary stages. During the first stage, the physical body was raised to a level where it was possible to make the necessary transformations to support object consciousness. This first preliminary stage in the Earth phase of evolution can be described as a repetition of the Saturn phase on a higher level, because during this period, as was the case during the actual Saturn phase, higher beings worked only on the human physical body. When this body had advanced far enough in its development, all the beings in question first had to shift into a higher form of existence before the life body could also advance. The physical body had to be recast, so to speak, so that when it unfolded again, it would be able to receive the more highly developed life body. After this interim period, devoted to a higher form of existence, a certain repetition of the Sun phase of evolution ensued, but on a higher level, in order to develop the life body. After another interim period, something similar happened to the astral body, in a repetition of the moon phase of evolution. Let's now turn our attention to events in evolution after the conclusion of the third repetition described above. All of the beings and forces in question had spiritualized again and had ascended into higher worlds during this time. Something of these beings and forces was still perceptible in the lowest of these worlds, which is the same world where present-day human beings dwell between death and a new birth. It consists of the various regions of the land of spirits. Before the physical, evolutionary phase of the earth began, the beings in question once more descended to a point where their lowest manifestations could be seen in the astral or soul world. aspects of the human being that were present during this period were still in their astral form. In order to understand this state of humankind, we should note that although, at that point, human beings each contained a physical body, a life body, and an astral body, the physical body was not present in physical form, nor the life body in etheric form. Both of them were present in astral form. What made the physical body physical was not a physical form, but rather the fact that it still contained physical laws, in spite of having taken on an astral form. It was a being governed by physical laws, but appearing in soul form. Something similar was true of the life body. At the beginning of this stage of evolution, spiritual sight is confronted with the earth as a cosmic being that is all soul and spirit. That is, its physical and life forces still appeared in soul form. This cosmic formation included in seminal form everything that would later be transformed into the creatures of the physical earth. This being was luminous, but its light was not yet such that it could have been perceived by physical eyes, even if any had been present. It shone with a soul light perceptible only to the receptive eye of the seer. Within this being, something we can call condensation then took place. After some time, this resulted in the appearance of a fiery form in the midst of this soul formation. This form was similar to Saturn in its densest condition, and was interwoven with the effects of various beings involved in evolution. As we observe the interaction between these beings and the celestial body, they seem to emerge from the earth's fiery sphere at some times and to immerse themselves in it at others. Thus, this fiery sphere was not a uniform substance, but resembled an organism imbued with soul and spirit. The beings destined to assume the present-day form of human beings on earth were still not in a position to participate much in this process of immersion in the body of fire. They remained almost exclusively in its uncondensed surroundings, in the bosom of higher spiritual beings. At this stage, only one spot on each of their soul shapes touched the fiery earth, whose heat was therefore able to condense a portion of the astral body of each one. This kindled earth life in them. But the greater part of their being still belonged to soul spiritual worlds. The warmth of life played around them, only to the extent that they were in contact with the earth's fire. In order to form an image of the supersensible human being at the beginning of the physical earth period, we must imagine an egg-shaped soul form existing in the surroundings of the earth. Its lower surface was enclosed in a cup like that of an acorn, but the substance of this cup consisted purely of heat or fire. As a result of being encased in heat, not only was life kindled in the human being, but the astral body also underwent a change at the same time, incorporating the seminal beginnings of what would later become the sentient soul. Thus we can say that at this level of existence, the human being consisted of a sentient soul, an astral body, a life body, and a physical body woven of fire. The spiritual beings involved in human existence surged up and down in the astral body, while the sentient soul made the human being feel bound to the body of the earth. Human consciousness at this time was primarily a pictorial consciousness in which spiritual beings disclosed themselves. The human being lay in the bosom of these spiritual beings, and the sensation of a personal body appeared only as a point within this consciousness. The human being looked down from the spiritual world on an earthly possession, so to speak, and had the feeling, quote, "This is yours," unquote. As the earth continued to condense, the characteristic divisions within human beings became more distinct. After a certain point in time, the earth became condensed enough so that only one part of it was still fiery, while another part took on a material form that can be described as gas or air. A change then took place in human beings too. Not only were they touched by earth's heat, but air substance was incorporated into their bodies of fire. just as heat kindled life in human beings. The air that then played around them aroused an effect in them that can be described as spiritual sound. The human life body began to resound. At the same time, a portion of the astral body split off from it, forming the first beginnings of the mind-soul that would appear later. In order to form an image of what was taking place within the human soul at this time, we must realize that higher beings were surging up and down within the earth's body of air and fire. Within the fire body of the earth, the spirits of personality were of primary significance for human beings. When heat roused human beings to life, their sentient souls acknowledged the presence of these spirits. Similarly, the beings that were called archangels, in terms of Christian esotericism, earlier on in this book, disclosed themselves in the air body. Their effects were what human beings experienced within themselves as sounds when the air played around them. When this happened, their mind souls acknowledged the presence of the archangels. Thus, what human beings perceived at this stage through their connection to the earth was not yet a collection of physical objects. Instead, they lived in sounds and in sensations of warmth that rose up in them. And in these currents of warmth and surging sounds, they perceived the spirits of personality and the archangels. However, they were not able to perceive these beings directly, but only through a veil of heat and sound, as it were. While their souls were being penetrated by these perceptions that came from the earth, human beings still experienced themselves as resting in the bosom of higher beings, and their souls were still filled with ebbing and flowing images of these beings. Earth's evolution continued, again expressing itself in a condensation. Watery substance was incorporated into the earth body, which then consisted of three elements: the fiery element, the airy, and the watery. Prior to this, however, an important event took place. An independent cosmic body separated from the earth of fire and air. In the course of further evolution, this developed into our present-day sun. Previously, earth and sun had been one body, and at this point the earth still contained everything that is included in our present-day moon. The sun separated from the earth because certain higher beings could no longer continue to tolerate the presence of condensed, watery matter in their own evolution and in what they had to accomplish for the sake of the earth. From the general earth body they extracted the substances that were suited only to their purposes and withdrew from the earth to form a new dwelling place for themselves on the sun. They then worked down upon the earth from outside. From the sun, see page 168, humankind's own further evolution, however, required a setting where matter continued to condense. Human beings also underwent a change as a result of the incorporation of liquid substance into the earth body. From this point on, not only did fire stream into human beings and the air play around them, but their physical bodies incorporated liquid substance. At the same time, the etheric part of them changed and became perceptible to them as a delicate body of light. Formerly, human beings had felt streams of warmth rising up toward them out of the earth, and had sensed the air pressing in on them through sound. But now the watery element also permeated their bodies of air and fire, and they saw its ebbing and flowing as brightening and dimming light. A change took place in their souls, too. The first beginnings of the consciousness soul were added to those of the sentient and mind souls. The angels or sons of life work in the element of water, and it is they who also actually generate light. For human beings, it seemed as if the angels appeared to them in the light. Certain higher beings, formerly present within the earth body itself, were now working on it from the sun. This changed all their effects on the earth. Earth-bound human beings would not have been able to feel the sun being's effects any more if their souls had been constantly turned toward the earth that supplied their physical bodies. So an alternation in human states of consciousness developed, The sun beings pulled human souls away from their physical bodies at certain times, and as a result humans began to alternate between a purely spiritual existence in the bosom of the sun beings and a state of being united with the body and receiving Earth's influences. When human beings occupied physical bodies, currents of warmth streamed toward them, air masses surrounded them with sound, and liquids flowed in and out of them. When they were outside of these bodies, they rested in the bosom of higher beings, and images of these beings surged through their souls. At this stage of its evolution, the Earth experienced two different periods. During one, it was allowed to surround human souls with its substances and clothe them in bodies. During the other, these souls deserted it, and only the bodies remained, and both the Earth and its human beings were in a state of sleep. We can state quite objectively that at this point in the distant past, the Earth was going through periods of day and night. This was expressed physically and spatially in the fact that the Earth moved in relation to the sun, bringing about the alternation between daytime and nighttime. This movement was caused by the interaction of sun beings and earth beings. The day period occurred when the surface of the Earth, where humans were evolving, faced the sun. Night, that is the time when human beings led a purely soul existence, occurred when the surface was turned away from the sun. We must not imagine, however, that the Earth's movement around the sun in those ancient times was already similar to what it is today. Circumstances were still quite different then. However, even at this point, it may be useful to hint that the interrelationships of spiritual beings inhabiting celestial bodies are a cause of these bodies' movement. Causes that are soul-like and spiritual in character move these celestial bodies into position and set them in motion in ways that allow spiritual circumstances to be played out in the physical realm. Turning our gaze toward Earth during its night time, we would see its body in a corpse-like state, since it consisted for the most part of the disintegrating bodies of human beings whose souls were in a different state of existence. The differentiated fluid and gaseous structures that made up human bodies were disintegrating and dissolving into the rest of the Earth's mass. Only outwardly unattractive seminal nuclei remained, the parts of physical human bodies that the interaction of fire and the human soul had been building up ever since the beginning of the Earth phase of evolution. These nuclei had been growing increasingly dense. As we can see, what is said here about day and night should not be thought of as being too similar to what these terms mean when applied to our present-day Earth. At the beginning of its day period, when the Earth again began to experience the direct effect of the sun, human souls again made their way into the realm of physical life. They made contact with the above-mentioned nuclei, causing them to germinate and take on outer forms that seemed to be images of their soul beings. What took place between the human soul and the bodily nucleus was something like a gentle impregnation. Now these embodied souls also began to attract masses of air and water and incorporate them into their bodies. Air was forced out of the differentiated body and drawn in again, the first beginnings of what later became the process of respiration. Water was also taken in and expelled. The process of digestion began in its earliest form. These were not yet perceived as external processes, however. A kind of outer perception took place through the soul only in the case of the above-mentioned impregnation-like process, when the soul dimly felt its own awakening to physical existence as it contacted the seminal nucleus extended toward it by Earth. It heard something that can be approximately expressed in the words, quote, "This is my form," unquote. The resulting feeling, which we might call a dawning of the I feeling, persisted in the soul throughout its connection with the physical body. In contrast, the soul still experienced the assimilation of air in a purely soul-spiritual way, as a pictorial process appearing in the form of ebbing and flowing images of sound, that supplied the germinal nucleus with forms as it was differentiating. The soul felt surrounded by surging sounds on all sides and sensed how it shaped its body in accordance with these sound forces. This was how human figures took shape at that stage. To present-day consciousness, they would not have been perceptible in any external world. They took shape as plant-like or flower-like shapes of delicate substance. But since they were inwardly mobile, they seemed like fluttering flowers. During their earth or day period, human beings experienced the blissful feeling of being shaped into forms such as these. The soul experienced the assimilation of watery parts as an influx of strength and inner strengthening. Outwardly, it appeared as the growth of the physical human structure. As the direct influence of the sun waned, the human soul also lost its ability to control these processes, and they were gradually discarded. The only aspects remaining were the ones that permitted the above-mentioned nucleus to mature. Meanwhile, human beings left their bodies and returned to the spiritual state of existence. Since not all parts of the Earth's body were used in building up human bodies, we must not imagine that the Earth, during its night period, consisted only of disintegrating corpses and nuclei waiting to be awakened. These were all embedded in other structures that took shape out of the Earth's substances. What was happening with these structures will be described later. The process of condensing the Earth's substance, however, continued. The solid element, which we can call earthy, was added to the liquid. At this point, human beings also began to incorporate the earthy element into their bodies during their times on Earth. As soon as this began, the forces their souls brought with them from their body-free times no longer had the same power as before. Prior to this, each soul had shaped its body out of the fiery, airy, and watery elements, in accordance with the tones that resounded around it and the images of light that played around it. The soul was no longer able to do this when it was confronted with a solidified figure. So from this point onward, other powers intervened in the process of fashioning the body. What remained of the human being when the soul slipped out of the body was no longer a mere nucleus that was roused to life by the returning soul. It had become a formation in which the force necessary for its own re-enlivening was inherent. When the soul departed, it left behind something more than a mere after-image of itself. It also sank part of its enlivening power into that image. When the soul reappeared on Earth, it could no longer merely rouse its image to life. The re-enlivening had to take place within the image itself. The spiritual beings working down upon Earth from the sun now maintained this enlivening power in human bodies, while even when the human beings in question were not present on Earth. When the soul incarnated during this period, it not only felt surrounded by surging sounds and light images in which it sensed the presence of the next higher beings. Through receiving the earthy element, it also experienced the influences of still higher beings who had chosen the sun as their sphere of activity. Formerly, human beings had experienced themselves as belonging to spirit-soul beings, with whom they were united during their body-free state, and the eye of each human being still existed in the bosom of these spirits. Now, however, how the eye confronted human beings during physical embodiment was no different from how everything else around them appeared during that time. From this point onward, independent likenesses of soul-spiritual human beings were present on Earth. Compared to present-day human bodies, these likenesses were formations of a very delicate material nature, since earthy portions were intermingled in them only in the very finest state, comparable to how present-day human beings use their organ of smell to take in very finely dispersed substances coming from an object. Human bodies were like shadows. However, since they were distributed over the entire Earth, They came under certain influences of the earth that are different in character on different parts of its surface. Previously, bodily likenesses had corresponded to the human soul being that enlivened them and had therefore been essentially similar everywhere on earth, but now differences appeared among these human forms, preparing the way for what later appeared as racial differences. While bodily human beings were becoming increasingly independent, the formerly intimate connection between earth humans and the world of spirit and soul was loosening to a certain extent. At this point, when souls left their bodies, these bodies continued to live a life of a sort. If evolution had continued in this direction, the earth would have become petrified under the influence of its solid element. To supersensible cognition, looking back on these circumstances, it becomes evident that when human bodies were abandoned by their souls, they were solidifying more and more. After a while, human souls returning to the earth would not have been found any usable material to unite with, since all the substances that could have been utilized by human beings would have been used up in filling the earth with the hardened remains of earlier embodiments. At this point, however, something happened that gave the whole process of evolution a different direction. Everything that would have contributed to permanently hardening the earth's solid substance was expelled. At that point, our present-day moon withdrew from the earth, and everything that had previously contributed directly to fashioning lasting forms on earth now worked down from the moon, indirectly and in a weakened form. The higher beings responsible for this form fashioning had decided that they were no longer going to contribute their effects from within the earth, but were going to work on it from outside. As a result, a distinction appeared among human bodily structures that must be regarded as the beginning of gender separation into male and female. The previous inhabitants of the earth, human figures composed of finely dispersed substance, had brought forth their offspring, new human forms, through the interaction of the two forces within each individual, the force of the seed and the enlivening force. These offspring were now transforming themselves. In some of them, the germinal force of the element of spirit and soul worked more strongly, while in the other group the force that enlivened the germinal nucleus was stronger. This was brought about by the weakening of the solid element's power through the withdrawal of the moon. The interaction of these forces became more delicate than it was previously, when it took place within a single body. As a result, the offspring were also finer and more delicate. They entered the earth in a fine material state, and only gradually incorporated the finest solid particles. This made it possible for human souls returning to the earth to unite with bodies once again. Since these bodies were now being enlivened on the earth itself, souls no longer enlivened their bodies from outside, but they united with them and caused them to grow. Certain limits were imposed on this growth, however. As a result of the moon's separation, human bodies became flexible for a while, but the more they continued to grow on earth, the more the forces of solidification gained the upper hand. Ultimately, souls grew less and less able to participate in the organization of their bodies, which disintegrated when these souls ascended into spiritual and soul modes of existence. It is possible to trace how the forces that human beings gradually acquired during the Saturn, Sun, and Moon phases of evolution became increasingly involved in humankind's continued progress as the Earth took shape through the processes described above. First, the astral body, which also still contained the life body and the physical body within it in a state of dissolution, was kindled by the Earth's fire. Then it separated into a finer astral portion, the sentient soul, and a coarser etheric portion that could then be affected by the earth element. At this point, the ether body, or life body, which already existed in prototype, made its appearance. While the mind and consciousness souls were developing in the astral human being, the coarser portions of the ether body that were sensitive to sound and light were separating off. At the point in time when the ether body condensed still further, changing from a body of light into a body of fire or warmth, evolution had reached the stage of incorporating particles of the solid earth element into the human being, as described above. Because the ether body had condensed to the level of fire, it was then also able to unite with substances of the physical earth that were diluted to the level of fire. This also had the effect of utilizing forces of the physical body that had been implanted into the ether body at an earlier stage. Meanwhile, the physical body had become more solid, however, so if the ether body had been acting on its own, it would no longer have been able to introduce gaseous substances into it. As indicated earlier, the higher beings that lived on the sun made their appearance at this point and breathed air into the body. Higher beings guided the living breath of air into human beings. However, thanks to their past, human beings possessed the necessary forces for imbuing themselves with Earth's fire. Prior to solidification, the human life body, as the receptor of sound, had guided this stream of air, imbuing the physical body with life. But once this life was received from outside, it consequently became independent of the soul portion of the human being. At this point, human beings, leaving the earth, left behind not only seminal nuclei of their forms, but also living likenesses of themselves. The spirits of form remained united with these likenesses, having bestowed life on them. They also transferred it to the next generation after these human souls had left their bodies. This is how what is known as heredity developed. When a human soul then returned to the earth, it found itself in a body whose life had been transferred to it from that soul's ancestors. The soul felt especially drawn to just such a body. As a result, it developed a certain memory of these ancestors with whom it felt at one. This memory passed like a common consciousness through a succession of descendants. The I flowed down through the generations. At this stage of evolution, human beings experienced themselves as independent beings during their time on Earth. They felt the inner fire of their life bodies uniting with the outer fire of the Earth. They felt that the warmth that flowed through them was their I. These currents of warmth, interwoven with life, were the first beginnings of blood circulation. However, in the air that streamed into them, human beings did not feel that they were quite their own beings, since the forces of the above-mentioned higher beings were active in this air. But some of the active forces in the air streaming through human beings already did belong to them, thanks to their previously developed etheric forces, and they retained this portion. So they did control some of these currents of air. To the extent that this was the case, they themselves were active in their own formation alongside the higher beings. They shaped their own airy parts according to the images of their astral bodies. While air was streaming into their bodies from outside, becoming the basis of respiration, part of the internal air separated and developed into an organism that was then imprinted onto human beings, forming the basis for what would later become the nervous system. Thus, at this time, warmth and air connected human beings to the external world of the earth. In contrast, they sensed nothing of the solid element that was being introduced. Although it was involved in their incarnation on earth, they could not perceive its introduction directly, but only in a dull state of consciousness and in the form of images of the higher beings at work in this element. At an earlier stage, they had also perceived the introduction of liquids in the form of such images of superior beings. By now, these earlier images had undergone a transformation within human consciousness due to the densification of the human earthly figure. The liquid element was suffused with the solid. So the addition of solids also had to be experienced as something coming from higher beings, acting from outside the human being. In their souls, human beings were no longer able to possess the power to guide this process of incorporation, because it now had to serve the human body that was built up from outside. They would have destroyed the form of this body if they had tried to guide the process themselves. Thus what they took in from outside seemed to them to be commanded by the higher beings who were working on fashioning the human body. The human beings of this time did feel that they were I beings. Each had a mind soul as part of the astral body and used it to experience inwardly, in the form of images, what was happening outside, and also to penetrate the delicate nervous system. Thanks to the life that flowed from generation to generation, they felt themselves to be the descendants of their ancestors. They breathed and felt their breathing to be the effect of the higher beings described earlier as the spirits of form. And they also obeyed the spirits of form in taking in the nourishment that these beings' impulses brought them from the outer world. Human beings were least aware of their origin as individuals, feeling only that they had been influenced by the spirits of form, who expressed themselves in the earth's forces. Their relationship to the outer world was guided and directed. This was expressed in the fact that they were somewhat conscious of the soul's spiritual activities taking place behind their physical world. It is true that they did not perceive these spiritual beings in their actual form. Instead, they experienced sounds, colors, and so on in their own souls, and knew that the deeds of spiritual beings were active in this world of mental images. Communications from these beings resounded toward human beings, who received their manifestations in images of light. The most inward feelings of earth humans came from the images they received through the element of fire or warmth. They already distinguished between their own internal warmth and the currents of warmth in their earthly surroundings. The spirits of personality disclosed themselves in these currents, but human beings were only dimly conscious of what stood behind these currents of outer warmth, perceiving in them only the influence of the spirits of form. When heat exerted powerful effects on their surroundings, human souls felt that spiritual beings were inflaming the surroundings of the earth, and that a spark given off by these beings was warming the inner being of each soul through and through. Human beings did not yet make this same distinction between outside and inside with regard to the effects of light. The feelings produced in the souls of earth humans by light images appearing in their surroundings were not always the same. There were times when human beings experienced these images as external ones, specifically during their period of growth on earth, shortly after having descended from the body-free state into incarnation. As the time approached, when the nucleus of a new earth human formed, these images faded, leaving behind only something like inner memory images of themselves. These light images contained the deeds of the spirits of fire, or archangels. To human beings, they appeared to be the servants of the warmth beings who sent the spark into their inner nature. When the outer manifestations of these spirits of fire were extinguished, human beings experienced them inwardly as mental images or memories and felt united with their forces. This was indeed the case, because what they received from these spirits allowed human beings to work on the surrounding atmosphere so that it began to shine. At this time, natural and human forces were not yet separated from each other to the extent that they would be later. A great deal of what was happening on earth still originated in forces belonging to human beings. At that time, someone looking down from outside at natural processes taking place on the earth would have perceived not only effects that were independent of human beings, but human effects as well. For Earth humans, perceptions of sound took shape differently and were perceived as outer sounds ever since the very beginning of the Earth lifetime. Whereas light images were perceived from outside only until the middle period of human existence on Earth, outer sounds could still be perceived after this midpoint. It was only toward the end of their life that Earth humans were no longer sensitive to sounds. They were left with memory images of these sounds, which contained the manifestations of the sons of life, or angels. Toward the end of their lives, human beings felt inwardly united with these forces, and by imitating them were also able to reproduce powerful effects on the Earth's water element. The waters in and above the Earth surged in great waves under their influence. Human beings had a notion of taste only during the first quarter of their Earth life, and even then their souls experienced these impressions like memories of experiences in the body-free state. As long as human beings had these sensations, their bodies continued to densify by taking in outer substances. In the second quarter of their Earth life, although their growth continued, human forms were already completely developed. During this time, human beings were not yet capable of forming a mental image of the solid element, and could therefore perceive living beings other than themselves only through the effects these beings produced in warmth, light, and sound. In the first quarter of their lives, human beings received the above-mentioned impressions of taste only from the watery element. The outer form of the human body was a copy of the inner soul state of the human being. The parts containing the potential for what would later form the head were the most completely developed, while the other organs gave the impression of appendages and were shadowy and indistinct. However, Earth humans varied with regard to their forms. Their appendages were developed to a greater or lesser extent, depending on the earthly circumstances of their lives. These circumstances varied from place to place on the Earth. The appendages were more prominent in areas where human beings were more entangled in the earthly world. The human beings whose previous development made them most mature at the beginning of the Earth's physical evolution, and who had therefore been able to experience contact with the element of fire right at the beginning, when the Earth had not yet condensed into air, were then able to develop their potential heads to the greatest degree of perfection. These were the human beings who were most harmonious in themselves. Others had only been ready for contact with the element of fire once the Earth had already developed air. They were more dependent on outer circumstances than humans of the first type, who experienced the spirits of form clearly in the element of warmth. In earthly life, humans of the first type felt that they retained a memory of togetherness with these spirits in the body-free state. Human beings of the second type were less aware of this memory of the body-free state. They experienced their fellowship with the spiritual world primarily through the light impressions of the spirits of fire or archangels. There was also a third type of human being who... Let me read that again. There was also a third type of human beings who were even more entangled in earth existence. These were the ones who had only been able to come into contact with the element of fire after the earth separated from the sun and assimilated the watery element. Their feeling of belonging to the spiritual world, particularly at the beginning of the earth phase, was especially weak. They experienced this connection only when human beings began to feel the effects of the archangels, and especially those of the angels, in their inner conceptual life. In contrast, at the beginning of the Earth period, these human beings were full of active impulses for deeds that could be accomplished under earthly circumstances. Their appendage organs were especially strongly developed. Before the moon's separation from the Earth, the moon forces in the Earth had led to increasing densification, and as a result human souls returning from the body-free state were no longer able to incarnate into some descendants of the nuclei left behind on the earth by human beings. The forms of these descendants had become too solidified, and the moon forces had made them too dissimilar to human forms to receive human souls. Under these circumstances, some human souls no longer found it possible to return to Earth. Only the strongest and most mature human souls felt up to the task of transforming growing earthly bodies so that they could blossom into human figures. And only some of the bodily descendants of human beings became the vehicles of earthly human beings. Others, because of their densified forms, were only capable of receiving souls that were on a lower level than human souls. Meanwhile, some human souls were forced not to participate in the Earth phase of evolution at that time and had to embark on a different course. There were souls who found no place on Earth already at the time when the sun separated from the Earth. They were removed to another planet to develop further. Under the guidance of cosmic beings, this planet detached itself from the general mass of the cosmos that was still united with the Earth at the beginning of its physical evolution. The sun had already disconnected itself. This planet is the one whose physical expression is known to outer science as Jupiter. The names of celestial bodies and planets are used here in exactly the same sense that a more ancient science spoke of them. The intended meaning becomes clear from the context. Just as the physical earth is only the physical expression of an organism of spirit and soul, this is also the case with every other celestial body. And just as observers of the supersensible do not use the name earth to mean merely the physical planet or the name sun to mean merely the physical fixed star, they also have broad spiritual contexts in mind when they speak of Jupiter, Mars, and so on. Of course, the shapes and functions of the celestial bodies have changed since the times described here. In a certain respect, even their locations in space have changed. We can only recognize the connection between our present-day planets and their ancestors if we are able to trace their evolution back into the far distant past by means of supersensible cognition. The souls described above continued to develop on quote-unquote Jupiter. Later, as the Earth continued to solidify, another dwelling place had to be created for other souls who had been able to inhabit these solidifying bodies for a while, but were no longer able to do so when the solidification advanced too far. An appropriate place for their further evolution was created for them on Mars. Even while the Earth was still united with the Sun and was incorporating its airy elements, it had become evident that some souls were not fit to participate in the Earth phase of evolution at that time because they were too strongly affected by the body's earthly configuration. Already at that point, they had to be withdrawn from the direct influence of the sun forces. They needed the sun to work on them from outside. A place was made for them to continue their evolution on Saturn. So we see that in the course of the Earth's evolution, the number of human bodies decreased, while bodies appeared that were not capable of embodying human souls, but only of receiving astral bodies of the sort that human physical and life bodies had received on the old moon. Figures of this sort colonized the earth as it grew too desolate for human beings. Ultimately, human souls would have had to leave the earth entirely if the moon's separation had not made it possible for any human figure still capable of receiving a human soul to remove its human nucleus from the influence of the moon forces coming directly from the earth, allowing it to mature within itself until it could be safely surrendered to these forces. As long as this nucleus was taking shape within the human being, it was under the influence of beings who had separated the moon from the earth, under the guidance of their mightiest member, in order to help the Earth's evolution over a critical point. When the Earth had developed the element of air within itself, the astral beings described above were present on it, remnants from the old moon who had fallen further behind in their evolution than the lowest human souls. They ensouled the figures that had already been abandoned by human beings before the sun's detachment. These beings were the ancestors of the animal kingdom. Over the course of time, they developed especially those organs that were present in human beings only as appendages. Their astral bodies had to work on the physical and life bodies in the same way that humans had done on the old moon. The animals that came about in this way had souls that could not dwell in individual animals. The being of each soul expanded to include all the descendants of one ancestral figure. Thus all animals that were essentially descended from a single figure had a common soul. A new animal soul was embodied only when specific influences made the descendants too different from the figure of their ancestor. In this sense, therefore, spiritual science can speak of a group soul belonging to the animal species or genus. Something similar happened at the time when sun and earth separated. Forms emerged from the watery element that were no further along in their evolution than human beings had been prior to the old moon phase. They could only receive the effects of an astral element of it if it Let me read that again. They could only receive the effects of an astral element if it influenced them from outside. This was only possible after the sun had left the earth. Each time the earth's sun period commenced, the sun's astral element stimulated these figures to form their life bodies out of the earth's etheric element. When the sun turned away from the earth, however, these life bodies dissolved into the general body of the earth. Thus, as a result of cooperation between the sun's astral element and the earth's etheric element, the physical forms that were the ancestors of the present-day plant kingdom emerged from the waters. On earth, human beings became individualized soul beings. The astral bodies that the spirits of motion had poured into them on the moon divided into sentient mind and consciousness souls on earth. When their consciousness souls had advanced far enough to be able to shape bodies fit to receive them, the spirits of form endowed each of these with a spark of their own fire, kindling the eye in each one. After this point, each time human beings left their physical bodies, they were in the spiritual world, where they met the beings who had given them their physical bodies, their life bodies, and their astral bodies during the Saturn, Sun, and Moon phases of evolution, and had brought them to the level of the Earth phase. The body-free state also underwent a change once the spark of the eye had been kindled in earthly life. Prior to this point in evolution, human beings had no independence with regard to the spiritual world. They never felt like individual beings in this world, but more like organs in an exalted organism made up of beings superior to themselves. At this point, however, their experience of the I on earth began to carry over into the spiritual world. From this point onward, human beings felt themselves to be independent entities in this world, but they also felt constantly connected to it. In the body-free state, they encountered a higher manifestation of the spirits of form, whose earthly manifestation they had perceived on earth through the spark of the eye. In conjunction with the moon's separation from the earth, body-free souls began to have certain experiences in the spiritual world, reproducing human bodies that were capable of receiving soul individualities was possible on earth only because some formative forces had been transferred from the earth to the moon. This brought human individualities into the domain of the moon beings. Lingering echoes of earthly individuality were possible in the body-free state only because souls in this state also remained in the domain of the mighty spirits, who had brought about the moon's separation. This process developed in such a way that immediately after leaving their earthly bodies, souls could see the exalted sun beings only in the reflected radiance of the moon beings, as it were. Souls were able to see these exalted sun beings directly only after having been sufficiently prepared by beholding this reflection. The earth's mineral kingdom also came about through expulsion from the general evolution of humankind. Its structures were what remained solidified when the moon separated from the earth. The only portion of the soul element that felt drawn to these structures had remained at the Saturn stage and was therefore only suited to shaping physical forms. All events mentioned here and in what follows took place over the course of vast periods of time. We cannot go into a discussion of the time frame here. The processes described here present the Earth phase of evolution from the external side. Considered from the spiritual side, it looks like this. The spiritual beings that pulled the moon out of the Earth and united their own existence with it, thus becoming Earth-Moon beings, brought about a specific configuration of the human organism through the forces they sent down to Earth from that cosmic body. Their effect was directed at the newly acquired human eye and made itself felt in the interplay between this eye and the astral body, ether body, and physical body. As a result, it became possible for human beings to consciously reflect the wisdom-filled configuration of the cosmos in themselves, to reproduce it as if in a mirror of knowledge. Let's recall our earlier description of how human beings, during the old moon period, achieved a certain degree of independent organization through the separation of the sun at that time. They achieved a more independent level of consciousness than they could have derived directly from the sun beings themselves. This free and independent consciousness, which reappeared during this particular period of the Earth phase of evolution, as the legacy of the old moon phase, could now be brought into harmony with the cosmos again through the influence of the above-mentioned Earth-Moon beings, who shaped it into a copy of the cosmos. That is, this is what would have happened if no other influences had taken effect. In the absence of other influences, human beings would have become beings with a consciousness whose content reflects the world in the images of cognitive activity as a matter of natural necessity, rather than through their own independent intervention. However, this is not what happened. Just at the time of the moon separation, certain spiritual beings intervened in human evolution. These beings had retained too much of their moon character to be able to take part in the sun's separation from the earth, so they were also excluded from the activity of the beings who directed their effects down upon the earth from the earth's moon. These beings, with their old moon character, had been condemned to an abnormal evolution on the earth, so to speak. Something in their moon character had rebelled against the sun spirits during the old moon phase of evolution. At that point, this was a blessing to human beings, in that it led them to a free and independent state of consciousness. The consequences of these beings' idiosyncratic evolution during the earth period meant that they then became the opponents of the beings who were working down from the moon and trying to shape human consciousness so that its cognitive processes would inevitably reflect the cosmos. What had helped human beings achieve a higher level on the old moon proved contrary to adaptations that had become possible through the Earth phase of evolution. The old moon character of the opposing powers gave them the ability to work on the human astral body, specifically, in the sense of the descriptions above, to make it independent. They exercised this ability by giving the astral body a certain independence for the duration of the earth phase, in contrast to the involuntary and unfree state of consciousness that would have been brought about by the Earth-Moon beings. It's difficult to find expressions that can be employed to describe how the above-mentioned spiritual beings affected human beings in this period of the primeval past. We must not imagine their effects to be like present-day natural influences, nor are they like the effect one person now has on another by using words to awaken inner forces of consciousness, allowing the other person to learn to understand something or to be stirred to moral or immoral actions. In this primeval period, the effect of these beings was not a natural influence, but a spiritual one, working in a spiritual way and transferring itself from the higher spiritual beings to human beings in accordance with the state of human consciousness at that time. We totally miss the essence of this if we imagine it as an effect of nature. But, on the other hand, if we say that beings with old moon character approached human beings in order to quote-unquote seduce them and win them over to their own goals, we are using a symbolic expression that holds good only as long as we remain aware of its symbolic character and are quite clear about the spiritual reality behind the symbol. It's the end of this section. I have actually finished paragraph 79 on page 228 of An Outline of Esoteric Science.